the political editor of the newsletter, Sam McBride. Morning to you, Sam.
Good morning, Stephen.
The Ulster Unionist Party said on Nolan Live last night they described this proposal as the surrender deal. They are using the word surrender now. Is this a U-turn by the DUP?
I think it's a very clear U-turn, and I don't think that anyone outside of the DUP could really make any argument other than that, and people within the DUP must realise that this is a major U-turn. Let's just start at a really simple level. The headline which Boris Johnson has on his letter, the strapline at the top of it, is a fair and reasonable compromise. He is saying this is a compromise. He is the Prime Minister who the DUP are supporting. They are trying to claim that somehow this is not a compromise. You can't have your cake and eat it when it comes to this. Either you're saying we're being reasonable here, as he says, we are willing to compromise. Now it's over to you, Dublin. Now it's over to you, Brussels. You need to compromise as well. At the same time, the DUP are trying to say, we haven't moved an inch. We have not changed our stance at all. I mean, it doesn't make sense. But then if you move away from that and you actually look at the detail as you have been doing, that clip which you played from Arlene Foster about a year ago speaking to Bloomberg, I mean, I think that's just devastating for her credibility when she now tries to say, I haven't changed. I mean, there was no talk in that clip of actually my one red line isn't really a red line. If the Assembly votes for this and says it's OK, that's not what she said.
I think, to be fair, Sam, what we should do is we should play the Arlene Foster clip. This is from it's a year and a day ago. And here's how clear she was that she would not have regulatory divergence. Here it is.
Is your party willing to accept any checks across the North Sea, even if they are of a regulatory nature, not customs checks?
No, and it's been very clear all along that has been our one red line, that we cannot have either a customs border down the Irish Sea or a regulatory border, because that would make us separate from the rest of the United Kingdom. And that doesn't work from a constitutional perspective, and it doesn't work from an economic perspective either.
So we cannot have a regulatory border that would make us separate from the United Kingdom. That's now, that's gone, Sam. And the question, the fundamental question to the DUP is, look, whether they would consent to it or not, how does it now not make us separate from the United Kingdom?
Well, if we take what the DUP are saying this morning, they're arguing that because Stormont would have to decide this and they would have a veto, and there is significant ambiguity as to around exactly how that would operate, but let's accept for a moment that is right, and that these regulatory divergences between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK, this regulatory barrier or border or however you want to describe it between Northern Ireland and Great Britain, let's accept that the DUP would have a veto on that at the point where it comes. Are the DUP saying that they are still going to oppose it when that point comes, that they're going to veto it? If they are, then all of this is pointless. This entire letter is predicated on the idea that the DUP and the British government have moved. If actually what the DUP are saying is that, yes, we will have a veto and we will wield that veto, We therefore haven't moved anywhere at all. There is no solution here. And then what happens? So, I mean, I think that the DUP position is so half-baked. It is so illogical. It really doesn't make anybody happy because they have moved so rapidly in such a short space of time without explaining to people why they are doing this, how they are going to deal with these various scenarios. Of course, they aren't even coming onto your programme, as we know. But the lack of any sort of coherent explanation for this, I think that if they are saying to people, we are compromising, and it's clear that they are compromising, there will be people out there in the business community. I was talking to some of them at a function last night. They're very unhappy. They say the DUP are not moving enough. They're suspicious. They think this is a ruse. I totally understand why they think that. But let's be clear. The DUP are moving significantly here. This is a compromise. It's a difficult compromise.
And the question, Sam, is, you know that they're strategists. You know that they will have played out the likely reaction from grassroots unionists to this. We've heard from an element of unionism this morning on the calls. I can tell you now that there is significant anger from within some of our callers this morning, confused, wondering what this means for Northern Ireland's constitutional status within the UK. The DUP reassuring them that they've got the veto, that they've got the lock. But if you want to say this out loud simply, the DUP would be agreeing to Northern Ireland being different from the rest of the UK. So how does that make it any different than Northern Ireland being different from the rest of the UK? The reality is it would be different from the rest of the UK, something that they said they would not tolerate. Now, fundamental question to you, Sam. Does this in any way take us a step closer to United Ireland, or have unionists got nothing to worry about?
I think it's very difficult to say that something like this takes us closer to United Ireland, because what this is about changing the nature of Northern Ireland. And so therefore, the nature of the Belfast, the Good Friday Agreement, is that it is in the hands of the people of Northern Ireland to decide what they want to do. If people are not happy with this from an Irish nationalist point of view, from people from Alliance voters, other people who don't like what is happening here, and who don't like these elements of Brexit, there is a solution. They can vote for the removal of the border for Irish unity. The difficulty, I think, is that there is really no evidence, I think, that we're actually at the point where that is going to happen. Yes, Sinn Féin want a border poll, but very few Republicans, even privately, think they would win that. So we're in this halfway house. But just coming back to where the DUP are here, I think this is the sort of behaviour which gives politicians a bad name. It's a sort of spin which annoys the public. They're not being frank with people. They have compromised. Why not just come out and say that and be upfront about it and own that and say, look, there's nothing wrong with compromise. It's not a dirty word. It's not the way that the DUP once thought of it when they would have denounced people for being compromisers. This is something they've done before. It's what politics is about. But I think that they're trying to say, on the one hand, this is a major leap forward. Look how reasonable we are being. And on the other hand, saying, actually, we haven't moved. It doesn't make sense.
Do you get any sense that the DUP have prepared their membership and indeed their other MPs and MLAs for this U-turn?
There has been an attempt
which
over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Well, the DUP has been attempting over the last 2 or 3 weeks to prepare people for something. I think the difficulty here is that there was no suggestion that this was going to be the nature of what was coming. And there was a very poor effort yesterday, I think, to try to sell this. There was no briefing for journalists. There was no big series of interviews where the party sounded like it was clear as to what was going on. As you said, their Brexit spokesperson, the person that we're used to hearing on these issues, Sammy Wilson, didn't seem to be anywhere to be seen.
And what do we read into that, Sam? Like, Sammy's a... No, and maybe he's just busy. But my goodness, it begs the question... where has he been over the last 24 hours? Does he support this?
Well, I mean, he is. Very, I mean, it's no secret that he is the DUP's hawk when it comes to Brexit. He was somebody who was pushing Brexit from before the point where the party had even decided that's what it was going to campaign for. And so people will have obvious questions there. But I think that if you step outside the political arena, of course the Ulster Unionist Party are going to attack the DUP. Of course Jim Allister is going to attack the DUP. That is a given. But look at somebody like Owen Polly, the former Conservative. He's a commentator. He's somebody who's written really in quite stout defence of what the DUP has been doing over the last year or two in terms of their opposition to the backstop. He is saying that this is a half backstop, this is a massive change by the DUP. I think that when you see people like that reacting in the way that they do, that is much more significant of a barometer of where unionism is than perhaps some of the more headline people such as Robin Swan or Jim Allister or whoever.
So what happens next? How will we get a sense if the majority of the DUP supports this DUP leadership proposal?
I think that what we might see within the DUP is an attempt to argue that this is not really ever going to happen. So they will perhaps try to say this is a strategic move. This is us trying to put it up to Brussels, trying to split Dublin from Brussels, trying to engineer some confusion within the other side of the talks process here between the UK and Brussels. And that I think, is part of what is going on here. But I think the difficulty for the DUP is that even if this is thrown back in Boris Johnson's face, even if Brussels and Dublin say, we're not accepting this, it is a massive concession by the DUP to suddenly move from a position where they say, our one red line, not something which we oppose, but we're willing to negotiate, something that is absolutely non-negotiable. It is a constitutional issue. It is something which is at the core of our party, and we will not move on it. They have moved on it. I think the difficulty is that when we get to the next stage of this process, who's going to believe the DUP when they say, we're not going to move on this, we're not going to move on that? These are constitutional issues which unionism cannot concede. I think it's clear at this point that these things are up for negotiation, and that is not going to go away.
Is this an economic All-Ireland?
Well, it is certainly much closer to that, and that is something which has been developing for more than 20 years. That is something which precedes the Good Friday Agreement. The single market was very significant in the early 1990s in moving towards that, and that is something which, within the current arrangements before Brexit, had widespread consensus that there were pragmatic and practical elements of economic cooperation, which, whether you're a unionist or a nationalist, that made sense. I think the difficulty for the DUP here is that if they had argued against, if they had argued in the referendum against Brexit, if they had been on the Remain side, they could have come back with what they have yesterday and said, look, we've made the best of a bad situation. This has lessened, it has mitigated the threat to the union caused by this. The difficulty is that the DUP sold Brexit to people as something which would improve things. It would make us more British. It would make us more successful economically. Suddenly now they're coming back with something which erects barriers between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK, potentially, it would seem. And that is being sold as a great leap forward. I mean, I really just struggle to see how this makes sense.
So the newsletter is perceived as a unionist paper. Straight question, have unionists or indeed loyalists and or got anything to fear from this DUP current position?
I'm not best placed to speak on behalf of the paper. I don't write editorials. I'm a political editor who writes news and analysis, I suppose. But certainly the view of the paper is that it has deep concerns about this, that it thinks that this does cut Northern Ireland off from the rest of the UK, and that the DUP's position was right when they were opposing the backstop. And therefore, the paper certainly would have very significant concerns about what is happening here.
And we saw around the Irish Language Act, when the leadership of the DUP came very close to agreeing with Sinn Féin, some type of arrangement around Irish language legislation in Northern Ireland, and they hadn't sold it to their base, Sam. Are we in a similar situation here?
I think we are, with the caveat that if this is very quickly rejected, we may not get to that point. So we know that an election is looming. It may well now be next month. That is very close for the DUP, and that is quite dangerous for the DUP. I think also we have seen moves in recent days which will concern the DUP in various other spheres. And therefore, when you look at this, I think what happened last year in terms of the Irish Language Act, it happened a very long time before there was an electoral test of opinion. If the DUP can't explain itself, if it can't convince people as to the logic of what it is doing here, I think there is a significant risk. However, it has to be said that the opposition to the DUP is very weak. The Ulster Unionist Party, the TUV, are really not in a position, I think, to capitalise on the DUP's weakness. However, that in itself is not necessarily enough for them.
Well, the questions the DUP have ahead of an election, and their strategists will know this, is their voters will be looking at the potential for change to abortion law in Northern Ireland, same-sex marriage coming into Northern Ireland, and now goods aligned to the rules of the EU, different from the rest of the UK. That's what they're facing ahead of an election.
I think when you put those things together, and also the possibility of the RHI inquiry potentially coming out next month, it's not a terribly thrilling prospect if you're a DUP candidate. I know that last week there was a meeting of the senior DUP figures at which Arlene Foster was present, and there were concerns expressed at that point, nervousness as to what would happen with the abortion situation in terms of votes for the DUP. If you're in a situation where they're worried about that, they're worried about Brexit, and they're worried potentially about RHI, and who knows what else comes up between now and then, it's not a great position to be in. Having said that, politics in Northern Ireland has become exceptionally tribal over the last couple of years, and therefore many unionists, I think, are not enthusiastic about voting for the DUP, but they will do it because they think the alternative is Sinn Féin. And in fear, I think both sides, both people who are voting for Sinn Féin and people who are voting for the DUP, may still do what they do, but with much less enthusiasm than they did a couple of years ago.
Sam McBride from the newsletter, thank you very much indeed.